In this episode of the On.NET Show, we're going to learn about the Azure Identity SDK that gives you some flexible options for authenticating with your services inside of the cloud. Check it out. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. My name is Celso Philip, and today I have Scott joining me from the Azure SDK team. Hey Scott, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
So why don't we start off with quickly you just telling us a little bit about yourself and what do you do on the team?
Sure. So I'm on the Azure SDK team, as you said. I focus on identity mainly. I'm kind of the architect in charge of our identity story, and I obsess about identity and authentication so that other developers don't have to obsess about those things.
Yeah, I know identity and authentication in general is not like a trivial thing to implement into applications. Mm-hmm. So it's always great when our libraries and our SDKs can kind of take some of that work off of our shoulders so we could just, again, focus on solving business problems.
Right. And that's definitely the approach that we took. What we wanted to do was simplify authentication for developers. We wanted to do a lot of things for them that they ended up in older implications of our SDK having to do themselves, such as handling the lifetime of tokens that they authenticated with, actually retrieving those tokens themselves, keeping them refreshed. We try and really build that into the platform so that it's something that I can just pick up and start working, and my first 20 minutes isn't focused on how do I actually authenticate this application.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense. So specifically, what we're going to be talking about today is a new flavor or a new set of SDKs that have been worked on for all of our various Azure services. And you know, this Azure Identity library that we have now is going to be something that's fairly common across all of these different libraries for different services.
That's right.
Specifically talking about .NET, because we're on the On.NET show.
Right? So yes, Azure Identity, when, as I said, the goal was to simplify authentication. And so one way we did that was to review all of the libraries that are part of our SDK, all the clients that we have as part of our SDK, and make sure that the authentication story for them was the same.
Yeah.
So that the way that I authenticate with a blob storage client is the same way that I authenticate with the Key Vault client and everything else. And we also have put together a lot of pre-built kind of means to authenticate. And so I'm gonna actually walk you through one of those now that we actually want to talk about.
Sure, let's do it.
All right. So one of the things that we actually created is the way to chain together different authentication mechanisms, so we could have an authentication flow. Specifically, we've created one chain which is called the default Azure credential. So the default Azure credential is a credential which allows me to use the same credential in my dev environment as I use in a deployed environment. So I can go seamlessly from my dev environment to being deployed on an Azure resource without having any code changes or having to have crazy switch statements around how I construct the client. And so for this, we've used the default Azure credential. And when I'm on my dev environment, I can actually just sign in to Visual Studio. And this will take a second because I have to do single sign-on. But while we're doing that, or I will say that one nice thing about this is it actually will support multi-factor authentication, which has really been a pain point for people in the past. So once we've actually signed in here.
Yeah, so what it's doing now, because everybody might not be able to see it. So you're signing in Visual Studio. You're going to get a little pop-up on your authenticator app on your phone.
That's right.
You're going to hit allow because, again, we have 2FA enabled. And then now you'll be able to just work with these services within, you know, the Visual Studio development environment.
Yep. And so there we go. So now we are authenticated, and I can actually run this demo on my machine. And this is a demo that we've actually shown in previous episodes that we've been talking about the pipeline. We're running a console app that's going to connect to storage. It's going to list a bunch of blobs and find ones which need to be cleaned up and delete them.
Got it.
So here we can see I've authenticated on my machine, and I was able to run the sample and just using this default Azure credential.
Cool. So I'm assuming that it's using like a particular flow as it's authenticating, right? So what types of different flows are available inside of this library?
So let me talk a little bit about what the default Azure credential flow is first.
Okay.
And then towards the end, we can talk about what all the different mechanisms that we have that are available as well. So The default Azure credential, as I said, it is an actual flow of authentication. So we're going to try a bunch of different mechanisms in order to authenticate. The first thing that we're going to probe is the environment, specifically for environment or environment variables that I have set with my credential information. And this will work in any environment. So whether I'm on my dev machine or I'm actually on a deployed Azure resource, I can set these environment variables in order to authenticate. The next thing that we're going to look for is a managed identity. And so this is, if I'm in a hosted Azure environment, we have something called MSI or managed service identity. That is where I have a resource which I've assigned an identity to. I can then grant that identity access to things like my blob storage account or my key vault. And then I can use that identity in order to interact with those things.
And that's for folks that are working with on-premise systems. That's kind of like me creating like a service account.
Exactly.
Like an account that's not associated with a person, but it's just kind of an identity that I assign to the worker services, to my databases, whatever the case is, so that there's some credential, right, that I could use it with.
That's right, exactly. The next thing that we're going to look for is a place called the shared token cache, and this enables our single sign-on scenarios, like I showed with VS. Mm-hmm. So where VS currently, we have enabled the single sign-on flow with your debugging experience.
Sure.
And we'll be adding other applications to this platform as well, such as PowerShell, the CLI, and VS Code as well. And then finally, if we haven't been able to authenticate through any of those means, we actually have an interactive browser credential where we can actually pop a browser for the user to log in and then use those credentials in order to run the application. And then that is actually saved back to our shared token cache so it can be used for the single sign-on. So as I run my app over and over again, I don't have to continually sign in.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, what I wanted to ask you about is, I know in the past we've had Adel, and then I think Adel has now been sunsetted for MSAL, right? The Microsoft's authentication library. How does this Azure Identity Library relate to MSAL and Adel?
Sure. So Azure Identity has parts of it which are built on top of MSAL. And so we're not trying to replace that technology, we're actually extending it so that we can use its abilities in the context of actually developing Azure applications. And so one of the reasons why since we're built on top of MSAL, we want to limit the dependency graph that you might get into trouble where I have a particular version of MSAL that I depend on and I need to load Azure Identity. And so what we've actually done is we made it so none of our libraries have a direct dependency on Azure Identity. And so we have a base abstraction which they depend on. And so the user's free to choose any version of Azure Identity which meets their needs, and hence any version of MSAL if they want to use that in their application as well.
Okay, cool. So that just makes the dependency management on my side a little bit less daunting.
Exactly, exactly.
Right. Awesome.
So now what I want to show you is actually that same demo that I just ran, I want to actually run it in the cloud now, okay? And I have the exact same code. So what I've done is I've created a VM in Azure. This is actually an Ubuntu 18 VM. I've assigned it an identity here, as you can see. It's a system assigned identity, and I've given that identity access to our storage account so that our sample can run.
Okay.
So here I have SSH'd into the VM, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to clone our sample repo, and I'm just going to run from there.
Okay. What I love about this is the fact that you're doing this on a Linux machine.
That's correct.
Right? So it kind of shows like how flexible our APIs are and how so we're thinking about just interoperating with like different operating systems. Because once you're on Azure, it really doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter.
Exactly. And .NET is, you know, available to us on Linux and on Mac and on Windows, and we want to make sure that our identity story and our SDK story is available on all those things with a seamless integration.
Makes sense.
So here I've cloned the repo, and I've actually navigated to where our demo is. I'm going to run the same garbage collector demo that I showed before. And so all I have to do from here is, I haven't authenticated or done any special magic. I just went into the VM, pulled down the code, and I ran .NET run, and there we go.
So tell me what's different now, because before, you were inside of Visual Studio, you authenticated in Visual Studio, you did the total 2FA dance thing, you know, clicked accept on your phone. But now I'm guessing it's doing something different, right? So
that's
what's
correct.
The difference?
So as I showed you that flow before, what we do is we actually check the environment for environment variable set. Okay. Then we're going to check to see if there's a managed identity available, a managed identity endpoint available. And in this particular case, because we've created a VM which has a managed identity, we have an endpoint available that our SDK is hitting and is actually getting a token from there. So it's using the identity of this VM in order to run the sample. Versus when we were in our development environment, since we didn't have that available, we skipped to the next portion of the chain, which was single sign-on, and then we discovered that we had actually authenticated through VS, and we used that identity to run the sample.
Right, so then using that default credential provider, it's not only just the fact that it has a lot of these different authentication flows inside of it, but it's also an order of precedence.
That's right.
So it's going to check a particular one first, then second and third, and there's an order in which it's going to look for these credentials.
That's
correct. So whoever's in the front of the chain wins, essentially.
That's right. And it's also configurable as well. So I can create my own chains. I can dictate what the flow of authentication should be. I can, even with the default Azure credential, use settings to actually turn off portions of that chain. So for instance, if I'm on a headless machine, I don't want the interactive browser credential to run, so I can actually disable that without actually using a different type of credential.
Cool, awesome. Thank you so much, man. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to show us about identity?
So I quickly wanted to show you the different mechanisms that we actually have available, because you had brought that up before. As you can see, we have different mechanisms, not only to authenticate a service principal, as you said, it's like a service account that runs in Azure, also to authenticate users. So if I'm on a line of business app on my cell phone, I have mechanisms to do that. And also mixed modes of authentication, such as our default Azure credential, where we want to go between user authentication and service principal authentication.
Gotcha. So I have the ability to authenticate a user, but I could also authenticate like a process, right? Like a non carbon-based entity.
Exactly.
So okay, cool. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. This is a lot of great information.
Thank you.
I'll make sure too that we put a link to that demo that you showed, because I'm sure tons of folks are going to want to try that out and be like, hey, does this thing really work? Like, can I just clone it and run it?
I know, it's almost unbelievable. So I want people to try it for sure, because I feel like they'll really be happy with the authentication story we created.
Great. And all these libraries are available today. Again, for .NET, they're available on NuGet.org.
That's right.
We could just search for Azure Identity, and then we should be able to just install it inside of our applications. I know that there's .NET Standard 2.0 compliant, right?
Absolutely.
And so we could use a lot of the cool new features like, C#, await for each, and, async renewables, and like all those other features that are coming out.
Yep.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for watching. And this has been another episode of the On.NET Show, where we learned about the Azure Identity Library, a new SDK that's available for you to try it on your applications today.